Let's draw near to our God in prayer. Father, we pray that in the minutes that we have to look at your word this evening, that you will draw near and give us help, encourage us as we think of the second coming, encourage us to give ourselves to the work of holiness in light of that glorious day. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You see on your handout sheet that what I'm doing this evening is, in a sense, a completion of an earlier sermon where we got two points done, but the third was not. So I'm going to come and just jump right in. I want to make the most of the time here this evening. And the third point to that message was on Christ's return motivates us to personal holiness. And I have three points and three texts to look at under this third heading. First of all, A, Christ's return prompts us to a Christ-like purity. And if you'd turn with me to 1 John 3 or listen as I read, 1 John 3, beginning in verse 1, we have something of the present privilege of being God's children. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. We are children of God now. It is a present privilege. Then in verse 2, the much greater future privilege. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. I was supposed to introduce verse 3, giving it the name, the connection of this future glory with the present. And because we are anticipating that glorious return of Christ, there is this wonderful hope, this certain expectation of future blessing. And how extensive is this among the children of God who have this hope? And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So what we have in these three verses is a plain assertion that here is someone who is thinking about the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the practical implication of that is, I am a child of God. I want to be more like my Heavenly Father. I want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. I am placing my hope in him. And then that practical explanation, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself. And you might say, well, I thought that God, the Holy Spirit, had to be operational in our sanctification. And that is very true. And yet, nonetheless, there is this personal effort that is involved in it. Romans 8:13, we are the ones who are to put to death the deeds of the body as the Spirit of God is certainly helping us in that. So in this matter of personal holiness, we are engaged. It's all of us, everyone who has this hope is purifying him or herself in light of that glorious coming. Well, I'm going to engage in all of the God-given means at my disposal so that I can be as much like the Lord Jesus Christ in this life, so I will be better prepared for that life to come. Then, secondly, B, Christ's return prompts us to a childlike obedience and conformity. Obedience and conformity. And here we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1.
1 Peter chapter 1, has not yet been in Peter an exhortation, a command. Everything has been more of a summary. There are perhaps some implications that come, but here is the first command, 1 Peter 1 and verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's conduct, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, in reverence, reverence for God, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers. We're looking at various aspects of the return of the Lord Jesus, and particularly passages that motivate us, and this evening that motivate us to some aspect of personal holiness. And so here it is in verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind, give this special attention, be sober, rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you. And how is that going to practically impact me in the realm of holiness? As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. My goal is to be a holy young man. My goal is to be a holy middle-aged man. My goal is to be a holy young woman, a holy middle-aged woman. It's whatever my age, that all-consuming goal for me is that I be godly, and I'm going to do this as an obedient child, and I'm not going to allow myself to be conformed to an old way of thinking. Well, what am I doing if I'm watching movies that have as the foundation of them adultery? How can I claim to be an obedient child if I'm not giving careful attention to the way that I am living as a believer in the world? The thinking of the world needs to be pushed away, not being conformed to that. The music of the world, whatever the music of the world. But I think that where we're just going along kind of aimlessly, and whatever the world's doing, that, well, that's fine with me. I'll give myself to that. Robert Murray McShane issued this prayer: make me as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be in this world. Make me as holy as it is possible for a redeemed sinner to be in this world. And then thirdly, Christ's return prompts us to a diligent quest for peace and blamelessness. Now we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 10. 2 Peter chapter 10, let me just begin with verse 10, then jump down to what we need to get here this evening. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. I think we all get the picture. We are anticipating the glorious return of the Lord Jesus, when there's going to be the meltdown of this physical universe as we now know it. But then we want to see verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And for me, the first mental picture that comes when I want to avoid having any spot or blameless, one of the chief examples of that would be a bride on her wedding day. It's not enough that the dress looks fairly clean, that it doesn't have too many spots on it. Well, here is the goal and the disposition of the child of God thinking of the meltdown of the universe. I want to be diligent to be found by Him in peace. I mean, I'm going to be walking in as the bride, and I want my groom to be looking on me and to be thoroughly wowed. In the time that I have to get from there down to here, I don't want him to see 14 black spots and 12 kind of orangey, dingy kind of spots, like I've been eating French fries and spilled some mustard and ketchup on my dress. So it wiped most of the ketchup off. The bride is saying, I don't want to be found by my groom in that kind of condition. And I want you to see, look closely there at verse 14, looking forward to these things, the glorious return of Christ. Be diligent to be found by him. I'm thinking about what kind of condition I am in when Christ comes again, when my groom, the bridegroom of the church comes, I'm going to be found in some condition or another, and I want to be found in a condition that is marked by peace and spot and blameless. Now, it's interesting. I want to be found by him in peace. Well, if I'm not in a state of grace, then no, I'm not going to be in that. But it seems like it may be something more. A freedom from trouble, a freedom from a sense of guilt that I got ketchup all over my wedding dress. I've got sin that has to be dealt with. And the point here is that the return of Jesus Christ, when it is spiritually absorbed by us, is a powerful motive not only for perseverance in the faith, not only for watchfulness, but for personal holiness. And when we are living like this, wanting to be found by the Lord Jesus Christ in peace, without spot, and blameless, then we will be of the most help and the most benefit to those who are around us. So, closing questions. When would you rather have the Lord come? During Sunday worship? During your watching of the news? When you're getting your hair cut? When you're praying at home? What about during a petty argument flowing out of your selfishness? Well, maybe we don't want that. We want to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So preferably, we would have the Lord Jesus come to find us, not on one of those evenings when we are out of sorts and we're caustic and we're mean-spirited and we're bitter. No, I don't want to be found in that condition. I don't want that kind of ketchup stain on my dress. There's a sense in which it really doesn't matter what we're doing when Christ comes again, as long as we are doing the revealed will of God. And sometimes it is the revealed will of God, thinking to summer, for us to be mowing our lawns. It's not an unspiritual thing. But what we can say is the main thing is that we want to avoid is in some situation where we are in sin, in an angry tirade. That may be an indication that we are not ready for the glorious return of the Lord Jesus at all. Well, I trust that you can see with me in just these brief 15 minutes or so, Christ's return motivates us to personal holiness. With John, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. With Peter, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. And there's going to be this meltdown of this present world. Therefore, we want to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that in these minutes, looking at these three leading passages, that we have there in our mind's eye that we want to be found in a certain condition. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would be working in us. We pray that you would be prompting the prayer of McShane in us, that you would make us to be as holy of a man or a woman that a redeemed sinner can be in this world. Help us to not set our standard on the world around us. Help us not set our standard even on brothers and sisters in our own assembly. For ultimately, our standard is your purity, Lord Jesus, and we pray that you would instill that in us more and more. And Father, if one of us is not in a state of grace, we pray that just this brief reflection on your glorious return would stir those desires that I need to be right with Jesus Christ, because I am going to be found by him. How is it that I'm going to be found? We pray that you would further the work of the gospel in all of our hearts, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let's sing together.